الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد إن شاء الله الحمد لله we have this weekly lesson of hadith from رياض الصالحين of Imam Nawawi رحمة الله عليه wherein the blessed hadith of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم are discussed and some lessons and how we can benefit from this hadith إن شاء الله we talk about. So alhamdulillah, we started this chapter, Babu Fadlir Raja, the virtues of having hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy. Allah ta'ala ki rahmat par umeed bandhne se insaan ko kya hasil hota hai? Iske silsile mein Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi ne ye bab bandha hai. So, and I think last week we actually completed this. So inshallah, moving on to the next bab, the next chapter, Babul Jam'i Bayn Al-Khawfi Wal-Raja. باب الجمع بين الخوف والرجاء. Joining and combining between fear in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a very important quality every believer, every mu'min needs to have. It has to be a balance. Being fearful of Allah's adab and punishment and being hopeful in Allah's bounty and Allah's reward. Both of these things, it has to be a balance. And as mentioned previously, زندگی کے ابتدائی عمر میں in the start of one's life is very important کہ خوف غالب ہو that fear is dominant because a person is sharp, youngster and youngster the desires are you know aroused and very active and it's very easy to fall into sin so خوف اور اللہ تعالیٰ کی خشیت سے جو ہے what happens is a barrier is created between falling into sin at that time if a person latches on to hope in Allah and doesn't concentrate on the fear that a person should feel from falling into sin. Because the whole maqsad of being scared of Allah is so that we don't do bad actions. Otherwise Allah Ta'ala say, Hame darne se kya fayda hasil hoga? No, why should we be scared of Allah? It's like saying, be scared of your mums, be scared of your dad. The only reason a child needs to be scared of mum and dad is if they do something which will make mum and dad unhappy. So they avoid that. Otherwise it should be love. And hope and happiness and you know joy every time you see mom and dad. Similarly, there is no reason for us to be scared of Allah. The only time fear should be there is if a person feels that I may fall into a sin. I may fall into disobedience. I may fall into nafarmani. This is where fear becomes a hajiz, it becomes a barrier. It protects a person from falling into sin. So isliye zindagi ke ibtidai umar mein, in the start of one's life, fear should be dominant. However, آخری عمر میں in the last portion of one's life امید جو ہے اللہ تعالیٰ پر امید hope in Allah's mercy should be غالب should be dominant otherwise the danger is that my time of death comes and I say I don't know what is Allah going to do to me I think Allah is going to punish me and a person loses hope in Allah's rahmah it's a great danger and what does Allah تعالیٰ say in the Quran لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله لا تيأسوا من روح الله never lose hope in the mercy of Allah Because the only people that lose hope in the mercy of Allah are the disbelieving people. So, because when you're old and when it's close to death, many times the emotions are out of, you know, it's out of one's control. So, we need to do the mashq of this, the practice of this. The way we do mashq of all of the, and practice of all of the qualities of iman, one of them is this. Balance between khawf and raja. And if I'm still, you know, in the start of my age and all the person is not married, or a person is married but still very young, and all of this. So there's a great chance and likelihood of falling into sin, then khawf should always be there. We need to look at all of those ayat in the Quran, hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, mentioning about the severe warnings of falling into the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is the sin of missing one single salah? 40 huqab in the fire of Jahannam. 40,000 years burning in the fire of Jahannam. It makes a person wake up at Fajr time. I'm tired, I've had a long day, I've had a long night, whatever it may be, but I need to wake up. I cannot endure 1 second in the fire of Jahannam. Forget 40,000 years in the fire of Jahannam. The fire that burned for 1,000 years until it became black. So painful and so severe that just by touching that fire, all of the skin, all of the meat in the body will melt off. They will just be a bones. Such a severe adab Allah has created. All of these sins. We mentioned the famous a story in India where this youngster was studying at night time and this lady had to take shelter in the masjid with this youngster and it was a time where there were riots, the Hindu-Muslim riots, whatever it was, I think it was a partition or something. And she saw all night long, he kept every couple of moments, he kept putting his finger close to the flame of the candle. Every couple of minutes he would do this. So in the morning she asked, I saw you doing something very strange at night time. And he said, it was yourself and myself alone in the masjid, and you're a young woman. And time to time shaitan would put an evil desire, evil thought into my mind. So I would put my finger close to the flame until I couldn't bear the pain. And I would think, if I cannot bear the fire of this dunya, how can I bear the flame of the fire of Jahannam? Person has to remind themselves, we have to get creative. You know what happens? We have to get creative. We have to talk to ourselves, our brothers in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Talk about Allah ta'ala. When a person is stressed, when a person is concerned, when a person feels their fikr, their mindset is going towards the dunya. I remember this, he passed away now, rahmatullahi alayhi mawlana, I've forgotten his name. He studied in Jewsbury Markaz. And when he passed away, he was in Sal ke liye gaye the. Aur wahan ja ke wo doob ke he passed away. Shayad aap hazrat maloom hoga, Maulana's name I've forgotten. It was about 2014, 2013. He was out in 1 year in the path of Allah Ta'ala, and then he was swimming in some pond or something over there in Pakistan, and he drowned and he passed away. So they had a gathering in Jewsbury Markaz, and Mawlana Imtiaz Saab, he mentioned that, I used to see this boy. He would take off his pagri, he would take off his amama, he'd put it in front of him, and he would just give da'wat to it. He would just talk to it about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If there was anyone there to talk about Allah and the greatness of Allah, he would do it. Otherwise, he would take off his own pagri, he would put it there, and he would imagine somebody is there, and he would just be talking and talking and giving da'wah towards Allah's greatness. It's very important. MashaAllah, we had a mental health course today. But mental health is there, and all of these things are there, but the root of all illnesses is us becoming further and further and further away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's the root of it all. Ala bi dhikrillahi tatma'innul qulub. Through the remembrance of Allah, the hearts find satisfaction. So many brothers, so many youngsters we talk to, and so many issues they're going through. Imam Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawziyyah rahmatullahi alayhi, in a few kitabs, mainly Al-Wabil al-Sayyib, and in his Ad-Da'u wa-Dawa and other books, he talks about almost 100 reasons. First he mentions 100 reasons, 100 ways through how we can benefit from the remembrance of Allah. And in other places he talks about so many harms of sinning, gunah. The sinning is not just you do a sin and that's it, you do tawbah and it's okay. The mental effect, how mentally it affects a person, physically affects a person. The nur on the face, the light on the face is drained. The physical energy is drained. Mentally a person feels exhausted, depressed, tired, anxious. A person starts to feel angry with Allah. Even though they're the one doing the sin, but because they're so far away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they start to feel, why do I need Allah? This bu'd, this distance is becoming created through excessive sinning. So dhikr of Allah, staying away from sin, protecting our eyes from sin, protecting our ears from sin, protecting all the limbs of our body from sin is essential. This leads a person to destruction. And when we abstain from all of this, then we start to see this positivity. Person wakes up in the morning, we know what I'm doing, I'm getting on with it. MashaAllah, I feel so privileged that Dr. Saab is here. I feel like telling Dr. Saab to do the... MashaAllah, a person who has given so many of his years of his life for the sake of Allah and is balancing being a medical doctor at the same time. I can't say that I can do anything like this. SubhanAllah. This is the reality. A person wakes up in the morning until night time, they have a plan. My deen and my dunya are balanced and my life is for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّ اللَّهَ اشْتَرَى مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَنفُسَهُمْ وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ بِأَنَّ لَهُمُ الْجَنَّةِ Allah has purchased, Allah has bought us. Allah is in control of us. Allah has bought our health, Allah has bought our wealth, and Allah says, just give me everything of yours, I'll give you Jannah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, do you know this barter, this trade that you've made with Allah? Ala inna sil'atallahi ghaliya. This trade, this transaction you've made with Allah is so lucrative, so valuable. You're asking for Jannah. Do you know what Jannah is? Do you think Jannah is some kind of holiday? That you know, you work a bit, make £10,000 and you go to Barbados. Jannah, where you will be forever and ever, things that you can never imagine. فِيهَا مَا تَشْتَهِيهِ الْأَنفُزُ وَتَلَذُّ الْأَعْيُنِ دِلْ جُوْتَهِ Whatever your heart wants, you get in Jannah. وَتَلَذُّ الْأَعْيُنِ Whatever makes you happy, you'll get in Jannah. Whatever. And it's not just one day, it's forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And you think you're going to get this so easily. How do you think you're going to deserve this? We have to work hard. We have to make some sacrifice. So this jam'u bayna al-khawfi wal-raja, balancing between hope and fear in Allah, fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's adab and punishment, and hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy. that my Allah is so kind, my Allah is so loving, Rahman, Rahim, my Allah wants the best for me, my Allah always accepts tawbah, my Allah always forgives. But if I don't stop sinning, then this adab my Allah has prepared, I need to be careful, I need to stop. I need to stop today. I don't know today, if I close my eyes tomorrow, I might not wake up. In the hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that kun fi dunya ka annaka gharib aw abiru sabil. Live in the dunya like you are a gharib, a stranger. Koi ajnabi shakhs. Ha, aw abiru sabil ya musafir. Koi ajnabi shakhs ban ke dunya mein apna jo hai zindagi guzara karo ya musafir ban ke. Ajnabi shakhs jo hota hai, a stranger, if I go into a town, it's unfamiliar. Do 3 days to main bas ajnabi rahunga, pata nahi Tesco kidhar hai, Asda kidhar hai, petrol kahan se ja ke bharu, mujhe kuch bhi malum nahi hoga. Kuch dinon ke baad jo hai aahista aahista ye jo hai manus, main manus ho jaunga. After a short time I'll become familiar. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying those 2-3 days it takes you to familiarize yourself with that town, you're a stranger. This is your case in this dunya. Before you've even got your bearings, I haven't even figured out my financial status here. I haven't even figured out how to make my children into humans. I haven't even figured out how to do this, how to do this, how to do this. I'm dead, I'm gone. My problems haven't stopped. I haven't found the elixir for eternal happiness. I haven't done any of this stuff that human beings are constantly trying to do. Happiness and joy and pleasure and all of my problems are solved and everything is done and now I'm just happy and relaxing. We never get to that stage and we leave the dunya. Nothing has sorted itself out, we leave the dunya. So this is how we live in the dunya. Sayyidina Abdullah bin Umar, or a traveler is stopping somewhere, he doesn't know how long he's going to wait there, he goes to the bus stop, he doesn't know, he might have to wait 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, he's not going to say, okay, this is it, let's subscribe to my, I don't know, whatever it is, and get my sofa set coming here, and get my, mashallah, bed set up, I'm tired, I'm going to take a nap. He knows, 10 minutes later, bus is going to be here, I need to go. This is a mentality the believer has to have in the dunya. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam wouldn't even sit down comfortably to eat. To eat, he wouldn't even sit down comfortably. Char zanu bhi nahi baithte Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Char zanu baithne mein ijazat hai, rukhsat hai, if a person struggles. But he wouldn't even sit like this. La akulu muttaki'an. He would never eat leaning on something. He would eat, he'd put himself in this imposed state of hardship because this dunya is not a place of rest. The rest is in the qabr, the rest is in the akhirah. He would eat like this. Who eats like this? How can you eat like this? How much can you eat like this? We have a few too much lukmas of biryani and this position is gone now. We have to sit like this and then like that and then lean back. So this is how Rasulullah would eat and how he would live, because this dunya is not a place of enjoyment. So my dear brothers and respected elders, this is the way that it works. It's not just, chalo, you know what? I live my life the way I want to. At the same time, I need to always be happy. At the same time, I need to feel that I'm ticking all the boxes. At the same time, youngsters are always talking about, what Morana was talking about mental health. I didn't hear the talk, I was busy. But always talking about this. I'm not happy, I don't know what I'm doing with my life. I'm feeling down, I'm feeling depressed, I'm feeling upset. Everybody is saying it. But the real reason behind this is our distance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we can't even put our finger on it. We can't even put our finger on it. So you can say to youngsters, go and do exercise, you might feel a bit, this is what mental practitioners will say, go and do exercise, go and, I don't know, talk positive, go into counseling sessions. But the bu'ad from Allah, distance from Allah, it leaves a hole in the heart. The hole cannot be filled with all of these temporary things. So hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy, but fearful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's adab and punishment is how we live our life. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu used to say, these are two wings, janahan, that the believer, this is how he gets to Allah Ta'ala. Fearful, I don't want to make a mistake, but if he makes a mistake, Ya Allah, you are the most forgiving. But like we discussed on Jum'ah, if we do tawbah, the three conditions of tawbah, jiske baghair tawbah qabul nahi hota. Three conditions of tawbah without which tawbah is not accepted. First condition is a person stops the sin. Yaqla'a anil ma'asi. He stops, he doesn't never, he's, I'm not doing it, finished, stopped. The second condition is, and that yandam, the person feels regretful. You know, he feels afsos. How did I disobey my Allah? How did I do some things like this? You know, you feel sad, you feel depressed. How could I put myself in this situation? And the third condition is you make a firm intention, I will never do this sin ever again. These are three conditions of tawbah. Without these conditions, tawbah is not accepted. This is if it's huququllah. If it's huququl ibad, the rights of the servants, then another condition is that you have to go and you have to seek forgiveness from the person, or you have to fulfill the haqq of the person who's jiska haqq talfi hamne ki hai, whose right we have broken. We need to go and make up with them. If I borrowed money and I'm not paying it back, fulfill that. If I've swore at, if I've backbited about someone, go and seek forgiveness. These four conditions have to be met for my tawbah to be accepted. So we live in this la-la land. I'm going to do the same thing tomorrow, the same thing tomorrow, the same thing tomorrow. And then we ask ourselves the question, why am I feeling so distant from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Why am I so far from Allah? ہمارے جو اولیاء کرام تھے بزرگان دین تھے اگر صرف ان کے استغفار پر اولیاء کرام چھوڑے رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کی استغفار روزانہ 70 سے 100 دفعہ تک رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم روزانہ استغفار کرتے تھے حالانکہ وہ معصوم تھے رسول اللہ had no sin on him yet on a daily basis he would seek استغفار 70 to 100 times the ulama say to first of all to teachers that this is what you need to be doing constantly astaghfirullah we're making mistakes left right center And secondly, because through istighfar, a person gets close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is where the nearness to Allah is felt. Humility, mutawadi. Jab insan apne aap ko bilkul jo hai, kya kehte hai? When a person lowers themselves totally, this is when a person feels, ji? Haqir samjhe, to phir wo Allah ta'ala ke jo hai, qareeb hai. This is very important. When I'm committing sin, I'm far away from Allah. When I do istighfar and tawbah and I cry, I'm close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why they mention that in one hadith Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, hadith Qudsi, Allah ta'ala says, أَنَا عِنْدَ الْمُنْكَسِرَةِ قُلُوبُهُمْ مِنْ أَجْلِي I am with those whose hearts are broken because of my sake. میں ان لوگوں کے ساتھ ہوتا ہوں جن کا دل ٹوٹا ہوا ہے میرے وجہ سے. رو رو کے, they're heartbroken, Because they miss Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They have this longing, this yearning. I am with those people. I have my special help and assistance is with them. So crying and getting close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and istighfar. So I was mentioning our pious predecessors. Abibi, you know, one of our great scholars in India, Hazrat Mawlana Qamru Zaman sahab, Hafizahullah. Brother from Blackburn, I don't know, know him. He's a great scholar in India. He always comes and he's come to Blackburn many times. He's a sheikh of our Ustaz Mufti Abdul Samad sahab. So he's wrote somewhere his daily ma'mulat. Morning, he reads 20 times Sayyidul Istighfar. Evening, he reads 20 times Sayyidul Istighfar. Allahumma anta rabbi la. The king or the leader of all of the istighfars, long istighfar, he reads it 20 times in the morning, 20 times at night. And you think these people don't have the sins that we have. The eyes are protected, they're in this khanqah environment. They don't even have to look at women. There's no women coming there. They are so in such a sheltered environment, and mashallah, they are so much more pious than us. But in the morning, 20 times, Sayyidul Istighfar. Not just Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah, then Sodafa, Istighfar, Sodafa, Istighfar. Morning, evening. Sayyidul Istighfar 20 times. This, and then he has his other Istighfar. With ghor and fikr. Aajkal ek bidat hamare andar aagi. Bidat ye hai, ki hum zikr karte hai, lekin hamari jo hai, khiyal pata nahi, dunya ki iran turan. Namaz bhi padte hai is halat mein. Hazrat Mawlana Ilyas Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi mentions in his malfuz. This is one of the problems. Hazrat Mawlana Ilyas Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi mentions in his malfuz, probably malfuz number 1, 2, or 3, and Sathis can correct me, that one of the problems we have today is that the a'mal of deen have become shakal form. They've just become a zahiri form. The reality, the ruh, is not there. Everything we've made it like this. So even when we do zikr, person say, I'm not benefiting from the zikr. Why? Because my eyes are open, I'm looking here, there, everywhere. My mind is not focused on Allah. I'm doing astaghfirullah. Hazrat Mawlana Ibrahim Dawla Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi wa sallam kehte hain ki hamare istighfar bhi qabil istighfar hai. Our problem is, our istighfar is worthy of istighfar. That's how bad our istighfar is. Istighfar is humility, regret. Ya Allah, I've messed up. I've messed up and only you can forgive me. That's it. That's how we focus and we do istighfar. And especially when we do Sayyidul Istighfar. Allahumma anta rabbi, oh Allah, you are my Lord. La ilaha illa ant, there is no God except for you. Khalaqtani, you created me. Wa ana abduk, I'm your servant. Wa ana ala ahdika wa wa'dika mastata'tu. Oh Allah, I've not been able to carry out your commands the way I should as a servant of yours. A'udhu bika min sharri ma sana'tu. I seek your protection from the evil of the action which I've carried out. Abu'u laka bi ni'matika alayya. Wa abu'u bi ni'matika alayya. Oh Allah, I'm aware of all of your favors upon me. وَأَبُوءُ بِذَنْبِي And I'm aware of my sins. You're showering me with your favors and yet I'm committing these sins. فَغْفِرْ لِي Oh Allah, please forgive me. إِنَّهُ لَا يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ إِلَّا There is no one who can forgive sins except for you. Imagine doing this 20 times in the morning, 20 times in the evening with full istihzar and full focus. How this close this will bring a person to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is how we need to slowly get ourselves close to Allah. Humility, lowering and humility and through humbleness مَنْ تَوَاضَعَ لِلَّهِ رَفَعَهُ اللَّهِ Whoever lowers themselves for the sake of Allah, Allah will elevate them. Inshallah, what we'll do is we'll start this chapter properly next week, inshallah, just discuss the chapter heading. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sati, everyone ready to do this, inshallah? Allah ta'ala give us all the tawfiq, the ability to practice one of these few words. Inshallah, the brothers are going to have the Amal of Gash now, inshallah. I'm going to pass it over to them. Brothers request to participate in the Amal of Gash, and then the Bayan after Maghrib, inshallah. Request to join that, inshallah.